chapter 16. Ezekiel chapter 16, we're going to begin reading in verse 4. The bride is getting ready. We want to talk today about preparing for beauty. Ezekiel chapter 16 and beginning in verse 4. It says, "On the day you were born, your cord was not cut, nor were you washed with water to make you clean, nor were you rubbed with salt or wrapped in cloths. No one looked on you with pity or had compassion enough to do any of these things for you. Rather, you were thrown out into the open field, for on the day you were born, you were despised. Then I passed by you, and I saw you kicking about in your blood. And as you lay there in your blood, I said to you, 'Live.' I made you grow up like a plant of the field. You grew up and developed and became the most beautiful of jewels. Your breasts were formed and your hair grew. You were naked and bare. Later I passed by, and when I looked at you and saw that you were old enough for love, I spread the corner of my garment over you and covered your nakedness. I gave you my solemn oath and entered into a covenant with you, declares the Lord, and you became mine. I bathed you with water and washed the blood from you and put ointment on you. I clothed you with an embroidered dress and leather sandals. I dressed you in fine linen and covered you with costly garments. I adorned you with jewelry. I put bracelets on your arms and a necklace around your neck. I put a ring on your nose, earrings on your ears, and a beautiful crown on your head. So you were adorned with gold and silver. Your clothes were of fine linen and costly fabric and embroidered cloth. Your food was fine flour, honey, and olive oil. You became very beautiful, and you rose to be a queen. And your fame spread among the nations on account of your beauty, because the splendor I had given you made your beauty perfect, declares the sovereign Lord." Pray with me, and let's invite the Holy Spirit and come speak to us from His Word. Let's pray. Father, thanks for this day. Thank you for your people that you love. Thank you for your presence here. I pray that you'd come now and breathe life among us. The letter kills, but the words you give are spirit and life. Speak living words that change us from glory to glory. If your heart agrees with that, just say amen and amen. Beloved, the purpose of this life is to prepare ourselves to live with Jesus Christ forever in the next life. The purpose of this life is to get ready here to live with Him forever there. The goal of this life is to become a little bit more like Jesus every day. The goal of this life is to align our heart with His heart a little bit more every day. The goal of this life is to love Him and to love like Him a little bit more every day. Because heaven is getting ready for a wedding. Heaven is getting ready for the marriage supper of the Lamb. The Bible tells us that the bridegroom is Jesus Christ. He is our bridegroom king. The bride is you and me, His church, His people. We are His betrothed. The Bible says He's already paid the bride price for us. He gave His life for us. He's already cut the marriage covenant. It's the new covenant in His blood. He's already given us the engagement ring, the arabon, the deposit of the Holy Spirit. He's already gone ahead of us to prepare a place for us to live with Him. And He's coming very soon to lead us home to heaven, where we will be united with Him forever. And what Jesus is looking for is a love match. What Jesus is looking for is a bride who is compatible with Him. He's looking for a bride whose heart is like His heart, who loves what He loves and who loathes what He loathes. He's looking for a bride whose heart is after His, in pursuit of His, who only has eyes for Him. He's looking for a bride who is pure and beautiful. And so our job on earth right now is to get ourselves ready for the wedding. This is the time to get ready for the wedding. And there is an urgency in my spirit as it concerns you and me and our congregation. The Holy Spirit is saying to us, He's calling to us, it's time to get ready. 2 weeks ago, we started this journey together, we looked first at the parable of the 10 virgins and we heard Jesus call to us to get ready. Last week we looked at Esther and we talked about our preparations in the area of purity. This week I want to take a few minutes and I want to talk about our preparations in the area of beauty. When we think of the preparations of a bride, we think about all the things that she does to beautify herself and to adorn herself for the wedding day. And as we think about our own preparations for that great wedding day that's coming, there are some preparations that we need to make in the area of beauty. Some of us need to make a lot of preparations in the area of beauty. Speaking for myself only. In Revelation 19:8, John sees the bride dressed in fine linen, which he says is the righteousness of the saints. In Revelation 21:2, John sees the New Jerusalem coming down out of heaven adorned as a bride. And so there are some preparations that you and I need to make in the area of beauty. Ezekiel chapter 16 tells a divine love story. It tells the story of how God met his people, Jerusalem. On the day you were born, your cord was not cut, nor were you washed in water or rubbed in salt or wrapped in cloths. You were thrown in a field. No one looked on you with pity or had compassion on you. This is how God found his people when he met them. But Ezekiel 16 goes on to tell the story of how he rescued his people and how he adopted them. Then I passed by and I saw you kicking about in your blood, and I said to you, live, and I made you grow up like a plant of the field. Ezekiel 16 goes on to tell the story of how he engaged his people. He betrothed them. When I looked at you and saw that you were old enough for love, I spread the corner of my garment over you. What he's describing there is a symbolic act in the ancient world that communicated a marriage proposal. This is the same gesture that Boaz made to Ruth in the book of Ruth, if you remember, when he spread his garment over her. It was a symbolic act that communicated a marriage proposal. So he said, I saw you were old enough for love, and I proposed to you. I gave you my promise. I entered into a covenant with you, and you became mine. That's describing his betrothal of them. And Ezekiel 16 tells the story of how the bridegroom then lavished care and gifts upon his people to beautify them in preparation for the wedding. And as I look at the details of this love story, I hear the Holy Spirit speaking some things about our own preparations in the area of beauty. Specifically, as I look at Ezekiel 16, I see that beauty comes from three sources for us as his bride. Beauty comes from three sources for us as his bride, and I want to talk about those for a few minutes this morning. First, as I look at Ezekiel 16, I see that beauty comes from what I put on my flesh. Beauty comes from what I put on my flesh. When God wanted to beautify his fiancée, Jerusalem, he gave her some things to put on. I bathed you with water, and I anointed you, and I adorned you with gold and silver, with clothes of fine linen, costly fabric, and embroidered cloth. You became very beautiful. He gave her things to put on. Beloved, Jerusalem's story is now our story. Jerusalem is not walls and buildings. It's a gathered people. And the New Testament calls us his church, his people. It calls us the Jerusalem that is above. We are the Jerusalem that John saw coming down out of heaven prepared as a bride. And as I look at Ezekiel 16, I find a few things to put on our flesh for beauty. First of all, as I look at these words, I find that I am beautiful when I put on salvation. I am beautiful when I put on salvation. The first thing that we need to put on our flesh for beauty is his salvation. Verses 4, 5, and 6 of Ezekiel 16 describe a practice in the ancient world that was called exposure. If an infant was born and it was deformed or it was unwanted for any reason, the parents would put the baby outside in the elements without giving it any care. If they washed the baby, or if they wrapped the baby, or if they cared for the baby in any way, then they were obligated to keep the baby. But if they didn't want the baby, they simply put it out without doing anything at all to it. Do you know that exposure is still practiced all over the world today? Exposure is practiced right here in the United States of America in operating rooms and in clinics where late-term and partial birth abortions are permitted. I didn't get one person to agree with me on Saturday night or at 8:30, but that's the truth, as shocking as it is. Exposure is still practiced in other places in the world. Some of you know our friend Jackson Senyanga from Uganda. Jackson Senyanga was actually left twice to die on the garbage heap. The first time was by his mother, who, when he was born, was too poor to care for him and saw that he was sickly and weak, so she threw him on the garbage heap. His grandmother went and rescued him, and after a few days, she saw that he was a sick child and had no means to care for him, so she threw him on the garbage heap. His aunt went and took him off the garbage heap and said, well, he might die, but at least if he dies, he's going to die with dignity. But how many of you know God spoke a declaration of life over our friend Jackson? And he is as alive as any person I've ever met. You know, our friend Jackson doesn't even know his own birthday, because no one even cared enough for him to take note of the day he was born. Exposure is a picture of our spiritual condition when God found us. It doesn't matter how much your earthly mom and dad might have loved you. It doesn't matter how celebrated your arrival into this world was. It doesn't matter if you were born with a silver spoon in your mouth and a silver rattle in your hand. Spiritually speaking, God says that each one of us was condemned to death from the moment of our birth. We were all exposed, but God sent his son Jesus to rescue us. He sent his son to speak a declaration of life over us. I saw you kicking about in your blood, and I spoke over you, live. He sent his son to wash us and to anoint us and to clothe us with the robe of salvation. And becoming his beautiful bride begins with the first step of receiving his salvation. Becoming his beautiful bride begins with the first step of asking God to wash you of your sins, to forgive you and cleanse you. Becoming his beautiful bride begins by inviting him into your heart and asking him to be your Lord and the leader of your life. And when we do that, the Bible says that our sinful flesh becomes covered with a beautiful robe of salvation. Isaiah said, I delight greatly in the Lord. My soul rejoices in my God, for he has clothed me with garments of salvation and arrayed me in a robe of righteousness as a bride adorns herself with jewels. Isn't it awesome? Think about it. Once we put on that robe of salvation, whenever God looks at us, he doesn't see our sins. Whenever God looks at us, he doesn't see our mistakes and our missteps. He doesn't see our faults and our failures anymore. Whenever God looks at us, what he sees is the beautiful robe of his salvation. He sees the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Listen, if you could only get that into your spirit, if you could only understand what that truly means, it would change forever your walk with him. Because when God looks at you, he doesn't see something ugly. He doesn't see something dirty. He doesn't see something broken. When God looks at you, he sees something beautiful, because there's a robe of salvation that's on you. That's good right there. Maybe there's somebody here in this service and you've never taken that first step. You've never asked Jesus Christ to cleanse you and clothe you. If you haven't, you're exposed right now. You're at risk right now. But you don't have to leave this place that way. You can leave dressed in a robe of salvation. And before the service ends today, we're going to offer to pray with you and help you take that first step. I'm beautiful when I put on salvation. And secondly, I'm beautiful when I put on worship. I'm beautiful when I put on worship. Verses 10 through 13 say that the bridegroom adorns his betrothed in fine linen, embroidered cloths, and fine Italian leather shoes. That's literally what it means. Not the Italian part, but fine leather shoes. See, Prada is even in the Bible. In the days of the Bible, when a man would propose marriage, he would shower his fiance with expensive clothes and jewelry. But there's something special about these clothes in Ezekiel 16. The Hebrew words that are given for this clothing, the fine linen, the embroidered cloth, the Hebrew words that are given for these clothes in Ezekiel 16 are used only one other place in the Bible. They are used of the fabric and the leather that were used in the making of the temple and in the priest's clothing. And that speaks to me of worship. I am beautiful when I put on worship. Do you know that when God looks at us, and even when other people look at us, they see us cloaked in whatever dominates our character? The Bible says there are all kinds of character qualities that people wear like a garment. They wear like a cloak, some good and some not so good. If our character is dominated by mourning, then we can become cloaked in a spirit of sorrow, the Bible says. Maybe you know somebody who wears a garment of sorrow, who is cloaked in a cloak of sorrow. And whenever you look at them, they look like they're ready to cry at the drop of a hat. They have a downcast disposition. You can see it always on their face. If our character is dominated by guilt, then we can become cloaked in a spirit of shame, the Bible talks about. One of the most powerful classes that we offer here at Harvest Time is something called Cleansing Stream. And at the Cleansing Stream retreat, there is a moment when people are invited to go forward and to take water and to wash shame off of their faces. And I want to tell you, you've never seen anything more beautiful than the transformation that happens in some people when guilt and shame and condemnation is washed away from them, and they come away from that altar with their faces shining with a beautiful radiance that comes from Him. If our character is dominated by anger, we can become cloaked in a spirit of violence or maliciousness that the Bible talks about. If our character is dominated by hostility and resentment, we can become cloaked in a spirit of cursing, Psalm 109. If our character is dominated by selfish ambition, we can become cloaked in a spirit of pride. But there are also some good character qualities that can become our cloak. We can be clothed in righteousness. We can be clothed in humility. We can be clothed in godly zeal. We can be clothed in love. And we can be clothed in worship. Isaiah says, I will bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of heaviness. Beloved, listen, you and I can put worship on, we can put praise on, and we can wear it like a cloak. Do you know when you are a worshiper, you are attractive to other people? When you're a worshiper, you look good to others. The Queen of Sheba came to visit Solomon, and she saw Solomon in all of his splendor. She saw Solomon in all of his royal array. But the Bible says something happened when the Queen of Sheba saw Solomon ascend the steps to the temple. And when she saw Solomon in all his glory bow down and worship his God, it says literally in Chronicles, it says that the sight was so beautiful that it took her breath away. And beloved, when you are a worshiper and you put on worship and you are cloaked with worship, you become so beautiful that you take people's breath away. Can I tell you, praise looks good on you. We have a privilege. We have a perk. Pastor Dan and Pastor Nick and I, one of the perks of this job is we get to stand here and we get to see a sight that you seldom get to see. And that's the beauty that is on your faces when you're worshiping the Lord. Let me tell you, you look good all the time, but when you're worshiping Him, you look really good. There's a beauty that shines on your faces. The glory of the Lord rests on you. You shine when you worship Him. Praise looks good on you. Every once in a while, Pastor Nick can't help himself, and he stops the keys and he quotes a little verse from Psalm 33:1. Rejoice in the Lord, righteous one, for praise looks beautiful on the upright. Praise looks good on you. And when you are cloaked in worship, you look good. There is something magnetic about you. There is something irresistibly attractive about you. People are drawn to you because praise looks good on you. People you pass on the street, they gotta know something about you. They've gotta see you. They gotta get near you because praise looks good on you. People in your workplace, they might give you a hard time for being a Christian, but guess what? When they have a challenge in their life, who's the first person that they come running to for prayer? Because praise looks good on you. People in your home, people in your neighborhood, people in your community are attracted to you because praise looks good on you. Praise is beautiful on the upright. And when you're a worshiper, you're not only attractive to others, you're attractive to God. When you worship, you're practicing humility and that attracts Him. When you worship, it's one of the few moments of the week when He gets your undivided attention. Do you know, all week He's waiting. All week He's waiting for that moment. There are so many things pulling at you. The responsibilities of your daily life, the daily grind, the responsibilities of home, responsibilities of work and family, and all of the things that are pressing in on you. And He's just waiting. He's waiting for that moment when you worship, whether it's in your car in the morning, on the way in, on your commute, or whether it's at home, you put on some worship, or you come here in the sanctuary. He's just waiting for those precious few moments in the week when everything else falls aside, when all the cares of life just seem to slip away, and we lock our eyes in on Him and we focus on Him and Him alone for one moment. And God says, there she is. There's my bride. When you worship, you're beautiful to Him because you're doing what you will be doing for all of eternity. How many of you know worship is practicing heaven on earth? You know, there are a lot of things we don't know about heaven. People want to know all the time, what will heaven be like? Well, there are lots of things we don't know for sure. But one thing we do know for sure is there will be a lot of worship in heaven. And I imagine it's something like those moments that we sometimes experience here on Wednesday nights or Sunday mornings when the worship is just so awesome and the presence of God is so sweet and so heavy among us that we just don't want it to stop. Time seems to stop and everything else seems to fade away and disappear, and His presence is so heavy on us and it's so beautiful that we just want the worship to go on. We don't want the music to stop playing. We don't want the singing to stop. We just want to keep going and going. That, beloved, is what heaven is going to be like. And when God looks at us in those moments, we're beautiful to Him because He sees us. He says, there's my bride. There she is. There she is doing the things that she's going to be doing with me forever. She's practicing heaven on earth. I'm beautiful when I put on salvation. I'm beautiful when I put on worship. And third, I'm beautiful when I put on the gifts of the Holy Spirit. I'm beautiful when I put on the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Verse 11 of Ezekiel 16 talks about the gifts of jewelry that the bridegroom gives his fiance. When an engagement was arranged, the husband-to-be would bestow on his fiance very specific pieces of jewelry. A nose ring. Aren't you so glad that that's part of yesterday's culture? Coming back today. I don't know how I feel about that. The actual wedding ring wasn't worn on the finger. It was actually worn on the nose. And all God's people said, ew. He gave her a nose ring and bracelets and anklets and earrings and necklaces, specific pieces of jewelry. These things were valuable. These things immediately upped her net worth. They were valuable. They not only were valuable, but they identified the wearer as belonging to his family. When people saw the bride wearing those family jewels that belonged to his family, they knew that she belonged to him, that she belonged to his family, and they were a down payment. They were given as a guarantee that the bridegroom would come and he would fulfill all the obligations of the marriage contract, that he would come claim the bride for himself. In the New Testament, Paul says that this is the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 1:14, Paul says this, "Having believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit." The word for deposit is the Greek word arabon, and the Greek word arabon literally means an engagement ring. The Holy Spirit is our deposit. He is our engagement ring, guaranteeing our inheritance until God comes to redeem those who are his possession. So what Ezekiel 16:11 tells me is that I am beautiful when I put on the Holy Spirit and his gifts. The gifts of the Holy Spirit increase my net worth. They increase my value. They enable me to know things only God knows. They enable me to do signs and wonders and miracles that only God can do. They enable me to speak things with impact that only God can make in the hearts of men. They increase my net worth. The gifts of the Holy Spirit identify me as belonging to his family. When people see me moving in the gifts of the Holy Spirit, they recognize that I didn't get these things on my own. They recognize that they are things that have been bestowed from his house and that I have become a member of his family now. And the gifts of the Holy Spirit are a deposit of the fullness of the glory that awaits me in heaven. I am beautiful when I put on my flesh, salvation and worship and the gifts of the Holy Spirit. As I look in Ezekiel 16, I see a second source of beauty. Beauty comes, first of all, from what I put on my flesh, but I see a second source of beauty. Beauty comes, secondly, from what I put in my soul. Beauty comes from what I put in my soul. Your food was fine flour, honey, and olive oil, and you became very beautiful. A bride's beauty preparations start long before the wedding day. They start long before the morning when she wakes up and goes to have her hair done and she gets her makeup done and her nails and she goes and puts on the dress and all of her jewelry. Her beauty preparations start a long time before that with her diet. The things that she eats that are good for her figure. The things that she eats that are good for her complexion, good for her skin, for her hair, for her nails. And the same thing is true with you and me. Beauty comes not only from what we put on our flesh, but beauty comes from what we put in our souls. I am beautiful when I eat holy food. I am beautiful when I eat holy food. Just like the clothes in these verses, the food that the bridegroom gives his fiance in Ezekiel 16 is not ordinary food. The fine flour, the olive oil, and the honey. This was the food that was used in the temple. This is the holy food that was reserved for the worship of God on the table of showbread in the holy place. This was the holy food that was reserved for his priests, his ministers. And as his fiance, what God gives us to make us beautiful is holy food. Now I have wonderful news for you. The holy food he gives us is fine flour and olive oil and honey. So it's all carbs. There's no Atkins diet in the kingdom of God. Isn't that wonderful? In fact, I think you can make pasta out of fine flour and olive oil, Andy, can't you? It sounds good to me. I don't know whether there's any garlic in there. I don't know whether maybe a little garlic's allowed on the side or what. But as I look quickly, I find three types of bread to eat to make us holy. Three kinds of bread to eat to make us holy. First of all, the holy food that he gives us is the bread of his word. the bread of His Word. Beloved, if you want to become beautiful, then get into the Word of God. If you want to become beautiful, then read the Word of God every day. Study the Word of God. Learn the Word of God. Memorize the Word of God. Listen to the preaching of the Word of God. Listen, if you're not so keen on reading, not everybody learns well visually. If you're not so keen on reading, get the Word of God on CD and put it in your car and play it and just fill yourself and eat the bread of His Word on your way to and from work every day. Eat the bread of His Word. Secondly, eat the bread of His presence. The bread of His presence. That's what this holy bread represented, sitting in the holy place. The bread of His presence is my daily prayer time with Him. It's my daily communion with Him. It's my daily intimacy with Him. My daily time of private worship. We worship together in the sanctuary, but we worship God personally and individually, and we eat the bread of His presence. The third kind of bread to eat is the bread of fellowship. The bread of fellowship. That's gathering together with His people, His church, His body, and all of these things are holy food. Here's what happens when I eat holy food. When I eat holy food, I produce holy behavior. Maybe third service will like that point. That was a good point. Yes, thank you. I thought it was too. When I eat holy food, I produce holy behavior. Jesus talked about this in Luke 6. Jesus says, the good man brings forth good things from the good that is stored up in his heart. But the evil man produces evil things from the evil that is stored up in his heart. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And so when I eat holy food, the bread of His Word, the bread of His presence, the bread of fellowship, when I eat holy food, what I produce is holy behavior. I wonder quickly what you're feeding your soul today. What are you feeding your soul? What are you reading? What are you looking at on the internet? What are you watching on TV? What are the movies you see? What kind of places do you frequent? What kind of food are you feeding your soul? Are you eating any toxic food? Toxic food might taste good going down, but it poisons us. It destroys our health. Toxic food is things that are impure, things that are profane, things that are dark. Beloved, listen to me. We are experiencing the demonization of our culture in America, and our culture is descending ever into darkness. And beloved, we need to be extremely careful that we don't feed our souls on things that belong to the kingdom of darkness. Anything that has anything to do with witchcraft, that has anything to do with the occult, that has anything to do with gore and with horror, it belongs to the kingdom of darkness. The Bible says that the light has no fellowship with the darkness. Are you eating any toxic food? Maybe the problem isn't toxic food, but maybe there's some empty calories you need to cut out. These are things that are not necessarily sinful in themselves, but they just really don't do much for us. Paul said, everything is lawful for me, but not everything is productive for me. Beauty comes from what I take in, what I feed my soul on. Eat holy food. Beauty comes from what I put on. Beauty comes from what I put in. And finally, beauty comes from what I put forth from my heart. Beauty comes from what I put forth from my heart. We didn't read all the verses in Ezekiel 16, but God goes on to say in verse 25, but you degraded your beauty by offering your affections to anyone who passed by. Ezekiel 16 is a divine love story with a happy ending, but with an extremely difficult middle. The bridegroom lavished his best on his fiancée to make her beautiful. The bridegroom gave her beautiful things to put on her flesh. The bridegroom gave her healthy things to put in her mouth. But there was one more aspect of beauty that had to be conquered, and that is the beauty that comes from inside of us, from deep in our hearts. Perhaps you've had the misfortune of seeing the television show Bridezillas. Bridezilla's is where these girls plan beautiful weddings. They buy beautiful dresses. They do their hair, their makeup, their jewelry. They fill the room with beautiful flowers and beautiful music. But inside, Bridezilla's are ugly. Somebody once said, beauty is only skin deep, but ugly goes clear through to the bone. And what is an uglier sight, really, than a girl who's dressed beautifully as a bride, but is ugly from the inside out? There is an aspect of beauty that surpasses what we put on our flesh or even what we put in our souls, and that's the beauty that radiates out of our innermost being when we are in love with Him. I am radiant when I am loved by Him. Do you know what, beloved? I'm absolutely convinced that 99% of the problems in the church could be satisfied if we only really understood the height and the depth and the length and the breadth of the love of Jesus Christ for us. He loved us so much that He gave everything He had for us. When He looks at us, He looks at us through eyes of love. When He looks at us, He sees the object of His affection. We are the apple of His eye. And if we only really, really understood the depth of God's love for us, the enduring love that He has for us, I absolutely believe it would change the way we do everything. And when I realize how much I am loved by Him, it makes me radiant. It makes something shine from the inside out. Do you know that there have been many, many studies done, scientific studies done on the physical effects of being loved? Being loved makes our countenance shine. Literally, scientific studies have proven that being loved by somebody removes skin problems, takes away and heals all kinds of maladies of the skin and hair and nails. Being in love makes us smile more. Do you know that being in love improves our posture? They say that people who are in love tend to stand 1 to 2 inches taller. Because something happens when we're loved, we stand up straight with our head high and our shoulders back, and it changes our whole walk. Do you know there are scientific studies that have actually proved that being in love makes us more attractive to other people? Other people are attracted to us when we're in love. When I am loved by Him, when I realize His great love for me, it makes a radiance shine out of me. I'm radiant when I'm loved by Him, and I am radiant when I love Him back with my whole heart. One day, some people came to Jesus, and they said, Jesus, what is the most important thing of all? And Jesus said, you can sum up this whole book. You can sum up the whole thing in this: thou shalt love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. When I love Him back with my whole heart, I am radiant and I am beautiful for Him. Pastor Dan, you can come. In the Old Testament, Jerusalem turned out to be a bridezilla. The bridegroom lavished everything he had on her. She had brought nothing to the table. She had brought nothing to the marriage. He had lavished everything upon her. Beauty to put on, beauty to put inside of her. He had lavished everything upon her, and all he asked for in return was a loyal heart. But Jerusalem turned out to be a bridezilla. She had wandering eyes. She had Roman hands and Russian fingers. She cheated on her fiancé. She wanted what the world had. She loved what the world loved. She valued what the world valued. She thought like the world thought. He said, I made you perfect in beauty. I made you perfect in beauty. But you degraded that beauty by giving your affections away to anyone who pass by. That's the story of the Old Testament Jerusalem. We know already that the story of the New Testament Jerusalem ends differently. See, we've already read to the end of the book. We already know how the story of the New Testament Jerusalem ends. Here's how the story of the New Testament Jerusalem ends. Jesus finds a bride without spot or wrinkle. Jesus finds a bride who is beautiful and pure. Jesus finds a bride who is dressed in fine linen, which is the righteousness of the saints. He finds a bride who is adorned and ready for the wedding. We know that's how the story of the New Testament Jerusalem ends. But I wonder for you, how will your story end? Will you end a beautiful bride, or will you end a bridezilla? Have you put forth the things that make you beautiful to Him? Beloved, look at me. Let's get ready for the wedding. Come on and stand together with me. We sang a song just before we close this service today, wondering if there's anybody here and you've never taken that first step towards being His beautiful bride. You understand that these are metaphors. You've never taken that first step towards being His beautiful bride, and that's to ask Him to cleanse you and to clothe you. You want to take that step today. If you're here while heads are bowed, I want you to just lift up a hand to the Lord and reach out to Him. Lift up a hand high, and I want to pray for you. You've never taken that step, and you want to take it today. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Somebody else, you've never taken that step, and you want to take it today towards being His beautiful bride. Is there somebody else? You've never taken that first step. Thank you, Jesus. Someone else? Thank you, Lord. Somebody else, you've never taken that first step towards being His beautiful bride, and you want to take it today. Thank you, Lord. I'm going to ask everybody, would you all lift up your hands together with us, and we're going to pray a prayer. I'm going to lead us, and I want to invite you to follow, and we're going to help some folks take that first step towards being His beautiful bride today. I'm going to lead us. You follow, give support, and help us pray, and let's help a few folks take that first step today. Let's pray. Father, thank you for loving me. Father, thank you for sending Jesus. Jesus, thank you for the cross. Thank you for giving your life for me. Jesus, I'm exposed. Jesus, wash me. Forgive me of my sins. Cleanse me. Jesus, clothe me with the garment of salvation. Clothe me with your robe of righteousness. Jesus, I invite you into my heart. Be the Lord and the leader of my life. In Jesus' name. Come on, give the Lord a big praise in this place today. Thank you, Jesus. 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 Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. If you're one of the ones who prayed that prayer for the first time today, as soon as we dismiss, I want to ask you to come right forward, and some of our friends are going to be right here at the front, and they just want to pray a prayer with you and just celebrate the decision that you've just made. Now, beloved, I want to just invite you to just join me as we pray and just invite the Holy Spirit to come and help us get ready for that wedding. Would you take your arms? Just fold them this way, if you would. Just fold them this way. Father, in Jesus' name, we want to be ready for the wedding. So, Father, I pray that, Lord, you would put on us, Lord, put on our flesh, the robe of salvation, put on our flesh, worship, Lord. We put on worship. We put on the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Lord, put on our flesh, the things that make us beautiful. Take your hand and just put it by your mouth, if you would, please. Father, in Jesus' name, we want to be ready for the wedding, so we put into our souls, Lord, holy food. Father, we put away toxic food. We put away impure and profane and dark things. Father, we put away empty calories. And Father, we put in our mouth, Lord, the holy food, the bread of your word, the bread of your presence, the bread of fellowship. We put in holy food. Take your hand and just put it over your heart. Father, we want to be ready for the wedding. Lord, we want to be pure and beautiful. Father, I pray right now in Jesus' name, by the power of the Holy Spirit, you would lavish the love of God in the heart of every man and woman standing here in this place. God, I pray that you'd lavish your love so that we would know what is the height and the depth and the breadth and the length of your great love for us. Father, I pray that you'd make us radiant as we love you back with our whole heart. As we love you back with loyal love, make us your bride in Jesus' name. Take the hand of the person next to you. God bless you, everyone. Let's just dismiss with prayer. Father, thank you now for this time in your presence. Father, as we go our own way today, I pray that the cloud of your presence would envelop your people. Pray your protection would surround us. I pray your provision would accompany us. I pray your providence would lead us and your peace would encircle us until we come together again rejoicing. And everyone said, amen and amen. God bless you, everyone.